Amen. I know you are just extremely spiritual right now, but it doesn't take long for good Holy Ghost filled people to slip right into that zone and open ourselves up for God's Spirit to move to us. I believe with all of my heart He's got something to say to us tonight, and this is a very special meeting because it's an intimate time for people that I believe that share a common vision here, and this common vision is having a great impact on our state. So why don't we just take a little time and give Him some praise and worship right now. We worship You with lips of adoration. We worship You as a company of praise. May this temple be a place where Your glory is embraced. As we stand in awe and worship You, we worship You with lips of adoration. We worship You as a company of praise. May this temple be a place where Your glory is embraced. As we stand in awe and worship You, we worship You with lips of adoration. We worship You as a company of praise. May this temple be a place where Your glory is embraced. As we stand in awe and worship You, we worship You with lips of adoration. We worship You as a company of praise. Let this temple be a place where Your glory is embraced. As we stand in awe and worship You, we worship You with lips of adoration. We worship You as a company of praise. Let this temple be a place where Your glory is embraced. As we stand in awe and worship You, as we stand in awe and worship You. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praises to Your name. Holy, holy, let every tongue proclaim. Hosannas, joyfully we raise and lift to You our sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. Tongue proclaim, Hosanna. Joyfully we raise and lift to You our sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. Praises to Your name. Holy, holy,
lift to you our sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. Praises to your name. Holy, holy, let every tongue proclaim. Hosanna. Joyfully we raise and lift to you our sacrifice of praise. Oh, hallelujah. Praises to your name. Holy, holy, let every tongue proclaim. Sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah, 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 oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, I give myself to you for all the times you've been so true, and I wish that there was more that I could do. I give myself to you. Lord, I give myself to you for all the times you've been so true, and I wish that there was more that I could do. I give myself to you.
Praise God. No, no. Let's praise him. Let's give him high praise in the house. Any place we are becomes a cathedral and a holy place. Let's give him high praise. Glory to your name, mighty God. We bless your name, O God. We praise your name, O God. We worship you, Lord God. We magnify you. We lift you up. Blessed be the name. Praise God. Praise God. How awesome it is to be a part of the kingdom that never knows an end. When they ask Ezra concerning the rebuilding, they ask him, who are you? What is it that you're doing? And he said, we are the people of the Most High God. And we build the house that was builded long ago. He knew who he was. And he knew what his purpose was. And every generation has to take up that same mantle and has to do that same work of building and has to be genuinely convinced of their identity in the kingdom of God, because you can't live on last generation's revival. And all of hell is rising up. My God, prophecy's coming to pass on every hand. Everything in hell wants to rise up against revival. Our culture is falling apart. What used to be a Judeo-Christian centered culture is now ravaged and torn. And every day I'm appalled by what people are doing to one another in this culture. And I thought just today when I read the headlines, in the last days, perilous time, men lovers of pleasure, without natural affection. What they're perpetrating on little children and on innocent babies And I'm thinking, if there's ever been a time or a generation that needed revival, if there's ever been a day when God's church needed to rise up and take their mantle and know who they are and know their purpose. And I am proud of you and I applaud you and I am so glad to be a part of you tonight. And we're going to, for a few days here, we're about to shake something. Now, sometimes in the spirit, I feel like we're just turning wheels and pulling chains and pushing buttons. And I don't know what it does sometimes. When you go off like Daffy Duck and you're talking in tongues and shouting, you don't know what it does. But I read the prophet. He said the waters spring up in the temple and they flow out into the city and they get deep. And we're going to shake something in a district and in our cities this week. And I'm so glad to be a part of it. And we are thrilled and delighted to have Brother Clark with us tonight. And I just want him to come and tell us what's on his heart tonight concerning revival. Brother Clark, we love you. We appreciate you. We're glad you're in the house with us tonight.
Everybody say praise the Lord. Alabama for years seemed to have been a forgotten state. And to some areas of the country, it almost became a byword. But the eyes of the nation are being turned upon this state. Yea, even the world. Economically, Alabama is racing far ahead of many other states. There's a great, great big steel plant fixed to come in above Mobile, Alabama. All of the automobile industry that's poured in here is only laying the foundation for great things economically. Now, while that's happening, parallel running with that, while men are looking and seeing a great state rise, God is also moving. And what's happening economically in that dimension, just look over just a little bit, you'll see something running parallel in the Holy Ghost, and that God's eye is upon this whole area in such an incredible way that I promise you Alabama will not be a byword, not economically nor spiritually. The people will be looking this way saying something incredible is going on among God's people in that state. And I'm going to tell you, I don't want to take up your time here. I don't want to preach to the choir. You're revivalists, or you wouldn't even be here. You wouldn't be a part of this great conference like you are. So there's something burning down deep inside of you. And I feel like the widow here, just put in my two little mites. Hopefully, maybe, that something I might say might stir up something for your heart to take home to your church and really launch us into this conference. Amen. Hallelujah. Great things are not coming to Alabama. They're already here. It's happening right now. Don't you feel it? Aren't you excited about it? I've got friends coming from Texas, from Mississippi, from Louisiana, that I've told them, and not that I'm speaking, I just told them, you got to go there. You got to feel what is happening in that great state. Amen. Aren't you glad you're a part of it? How many are glad you're a part of what God is going to do supernaturally? Do you believe it? Now, here's what we're going to do before I read. You've clapped your hands to the Lord 1,000 times over. And you've lifted your voice and said, I love you, Lord. And that sound becomes common. I wished I could teach first, then have you do it. But I want you to listen to your hands as they clap like you never heard it before. We grow used to it, but I want you to clap your hands and I want you to listen to that clap. And I want you to tell the Lord, I want this clap after this conference to be more real than it's ever been. God, I've clapped my hands to you for a long time, but I'm going to think about this sound in a new way. I'm going to hear it while I'm clapping. And then when you've done that, I want you to lift your voice and I want you to worship God with hallelujahs. And while you're saying that, I want you to hear and feel those words coming out of your mouth. I do not have verbiage whereby I might convey to you what I'm trying to tell you. But when you get there, you'll know what I'm saying. Hand clapping will have a sound, and your worship will have a sound that suddenly you'll be so in tune with that you'll realize this really means something to God. Sound means something to Him. I want you, if it's possible, just to clap your hands and listen to that sound like you've never heard it and do it unto the Lord. Would you just do that? Just clap your hands. Listen to the sound. Hear yourself doing that. Go ahead. Hear that sound like you've never heard it. Go ahead. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Turn that just a little toward me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hear hand clapping like you've never heard it before. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to feel it like God feels it. While you're doing that, I want you to open your mouth now. And I want you to say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hear it. Hear it as God hears it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, brethren. Come on, sisters. Hallelujah. Not noise. Not noise. But the sounds of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I want you to hear that noise like you've never heard it before. I want you to hear yourself as God is hearing you. I'm going to read tonight from the book of Micah. Now, I have been asked to talk on the subject of revival, and I'm not going to get so much into the mechanics of it as much as the dynamics of it. And there's a lot of methodology about revival and that we have heard and talked, but I'd like to get just a little bit into the dynamics of revival, when it is and when it's not. I don't want to bore you tonight, nor do I want to sound redundant, but I just really feel something here upon my heart. I'm very honored to be here with all you brethren and precious sisters in the Lord. I'm very honored that you've asked me to come, not only for this night. I realize there's so many more capable and able speakers than I that could talk on revival. But I am reading from Micah, the first chapter, and the 11th verse. Micah 1 and 11. Pass ye away, thou inhabitant of Sephir, having thy shame naked, the inhabitant of Zanon came not forth in the morning of Bethesiel. he shall receive of you his standing. Doesn't make sense, but it will in a minute. For the inhabitant of Maroth waited carefully for good, but evil came down from the Lord unto the gate of Jerusalem. Pass ye away, thou inhabitant of Sepher, having thy shame naked. The inhabitant of Zanan came not forth in the morning of Bethzeel. He shall receive of you his standing. For the inhabitant of Maroth waited carefully for good, but evil came down from the Lord. Also reading in Micah the fifth chapter and the second verse. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Can you say thank God for Messiah? And also I am reading out of the book of Corinthians. If you'll bear with me, I'm just going to read there out of Corinthians, and it will be the 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians 14 and 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Now, I take it seriously here what I'm about to do. So if you will just reach over and lay your hand on the shoulder of your wife or of your neighbor, amen. And I'd like Brother Sutton, if you will, to lift up his voice and to pray over these next few moments here tonight. Amen. And everybody say praise the Lord. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Now, you may wonder why, if we are talking about revival, would we go back almost 3,000 years ago to a minor prophet who arrived on the scene almost out of obscurity, about the year of 742 B.C., this man came forth and, as we know, is among the minor prophets. Yet he has some very powerful credentials. And I believe that we can learn something from him concerning revival. Three of the major scriptures that we see that Micah uttered very powerfully, one of them saved the life of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was about to be killed by God's people because he prophesied against them and against Judah and Israel, or Judah, and told them of their sins, and they were going to kill him. But somebody remembered there was a prophet by the name of Micah that also had been used of God and had spoken the same words, and it saved the life of Jeremiah. And you know the story of how when the wise men came looking for Jesus, amen, that they were told about where the scribes and lawyers told Herod about where Messiah was going to be born. That came from Micah. Micah was used to declare where Messiah would be born. And also, when Jesus first commissioned and sent forth his disciples, he used a quote out of Micah to prepare his disciples to go forth into battle and to revival. And so when we understand that, now we can see that there is something very involved in a man that we probably don't know a whole lot about. But also Bible scholars tell us that Micah, the fourth chapter, is probably one of the most powerful chapters in all of Holy Writ, concerning the restoration of Israel and of God's people. It is absolutely one of the most powerful set of scriptures that talks about restoration and revival. And so we can take these statements and lay a foundation and say, all right, then what did he really know about revival? There were some things that he knew that revival wasn't. It sounded like it, but it wasn't. First of all, I want to make these statements that that this man was an unknown. Moresheth was his home, which was in southwest Palestine. He did not run in the big circles, so to speak. Isaiah, his contemporary, a very articulate man who spoke to the royalty in Jerusalem, that he didn't run with them. He was an unknown, a small man. And you look at his ministry, Bible scholars tell us that he ministered to the common man. He did not appeal to the rich and the wealthy, but he appealed to the common man. And you know what? I see that many times in our own lives. We say, I can't do anything for God because I'm an unknown, I don't run with the big circle. So what can I do for God? But I find Micah one of the most powerful instruments in the hand of God. Amen. Moresheth wasn't a known place, but God raised him up out of that small area and used him mightily. I don't care where you come from. You may come from a little small area here in Alabama, and you may not be known in the big circles of Pentecost, but God doesn't care. All he wants is a man or a woman that he can lay his hand upon them that's going to save somebody's life. That somebody might say, hey, you want to know where Messiah is? They can tell you where Messiah is. And you want to know about the Great Commission and what it takes? Well, I'll tell you, I know a man of God in a small little community or in a town in Alabama that God's hand is upon him, and he's preaching restoration. He's preaching revival. Come on, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Micah is an unknown name, but it's a powerful meaning. It means who is like Yahweh. Who is like Yahweh. Let me tell you something, friend. It's not always that our name is known. It's what does our name mean in the dimension, the dynamics of the spiritual realm. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say amen? I look at the life of Micah, and his ministry spanned three kings there of Judah. The first was Jotham, and then Ahaz, and then Hezekiah. And the sequence here is unusual, amen, that this man would live through this, because it was a crescendo that was building toward a tremendous revival. His ministry began unto Jotham. And the Bible says this about Jotham. Jotham was a good man. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But he had a hang up. He never one time darkened the house of God. Not one time. Not one time did this king ever walk through the doors of the house of God. And I believe there's a reason for that, because Uzzah, his dad, had lifted up the censer, if you'll remember, there before the altar of incense. He took the fire wrongly into the house of God, and he misused the fire of God, and he became a leper. And I believe that scared Jotham, and Jotham wanted to do right, but he was afraid because his daddy had made a mistake. Let me tell you something that'll kill revival. It's because of people that have done wrong, that have failed, and have made mistakes. Are you hearing me now? It will bind us and keep us from handling the fire correctly. Just because somebody handled the fire wrongly doesn't mean that the fire doesn't work. Are you hearing me now? We're worried so much about wildfire. Don't think that doesn't still live in the United Pentecostal Church. We know how to speak the right words and sound right, but we're afraid many times to touch it. Amen. We're good people, but we're afraid sometimes to go in to what God really has for us. The Bible said Jotham did right before the Lord, but he never darkened the doors of the house of God. I believe because he was afraid of the past. He was afraid of what his daddy had done wrong with the fire. And he didn't want to mishandle it. So he never did handle it. That's sad commentary on a life, isn't it? I'm talking to some wonderful people here today that in this conference, God's going to take you and move you to another dimension. I'm not talking about the mechanics of revival so much tonight as the dynamics of revival. You know when it is and you know when it's not because there's a certain sound to it. And I'm telling you something, we more than we want to admit, we are bound by our past many times and we're afraid to move in the dimension of the supernatural. We're afraid because it's been pounded into our head. We're a nobody. We're a small nothing. We're insignificant. What can I do? I'm telling you, it's amazing what can happen if we'll just get up and move toward what God has for us. I can't help from the past, but I can take care of the present and the future. I want to handle the fire of God rightly. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Somebody said amen. And the Bible said because of that, the people did corruptly. I'm going to tell you something. Where the fire cannot have its expression, it will soon die, and people will become corrupt, even under the shadow of the house of the living God. And you see that many times in our churches now. We are living in a great falling away because we need the fire handled correctly. And the fire will purge and will cleanse and keep God's people from corruption. Amen. And so now we find a declining here. And because of this, his son follows in his steps. And the Bible said Ahaz did evil. He became a very wicked man because there was no fire and the people did correctly. And when Jotham passed off of the scene, his boy walked in and said, well, daddy never went to house of God. I never saw the fire fall. And he became even more corrupt and evil. But my God, thank God that Micah lived long enough to see the man called Hezekiah, who cleansed the house of the Lord in his first month sitting on the throne. He did not even wait. Are you hearing me? He did not even hesitate. He said, let's get this thing on the road. I'm not even going to wait. Why wait? I have the power. I have the authority. Somebody go open the doors of the house of God and let's cleanse it out. And let's have a move of the Holy Ghost. Why don't we make up our mind that in this conference, we're going to let go of the past. What if I can't help what people have done with it? And we're going to open up the doors and say, all right, why wait? I'm not going to wait. I'm going to get it in the beginning. Why don't we just go ahead and start right now? Why wait till tomorrow night? Hear the sound now. Listen to your hands. Hear what your hands are saying. Hear what your voice is saying. Come on, there's a certain sound of real genuineness of the fire of God. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. I want it. I gotta have it. I can't live without it. Amen. Not to have it will bring corruption. It'll bring a backsliding. Hezekiah was hungry. Amen. And because of that, Micah got to see it go from fear to corruption to revival. Amen. And he got to play a part in the middle of that. But while all this was occurring in this great ministry of this man of God, now he was not a man of letters like Isaiah. Anyone that has studied the life of Isaiah, he is probably, his counterpart would be the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. There probably was no one of intellect and away with words like Isaiah. Isaiah was incredible. And he ran in those circles, though he later was martyred. But yet, this one Micah, in his own right, God used him in a very intellectual and spiritual way. You see, sometimes it's not the education that we have so much as what we have in motivation of the things of God. Micah must have been a hungry man, though his book is short, yet it's long in power and impact even unto this night. You see, Micah was used of God in something I don't see in any other way in the Word of God. God used him in puns. Now, here's where we're going to have to make up our mind before we leave here tonight. Am I going to be a pun or a footnote in history, or am I going to be the power of the living God? You have to make up your mind. We're going to play one of those three roles. Either we're going to be a pun or a footnote or the power of the living God. There were four cities that he used here as puns. God working through this seemingly uneducated man, that you'll not see this anywhere else in the scripture, talking about what revival isn't, but what revival could be. He uses four cities, if you'll allow me just a few moments here tonight, and he punned them. God is a punner. Now, we often talk about puns in ways of joking, humorous, but God wasn't being humorous here. A pun really is nothing more than a play on words, words that sound alike, but yet have different meanings. Now, hang on, I'm going somewhere here. Words that sound alike, but have opposite meanings. They don't mean the same thing. He used these four cities. I'm going to start at the bottom and work my way back up to the top, because there's a reason for this. The city that he used at the end was called Maroth. And this is what God said. For the inhabitant of Maroth waited carefully for good, but evil came down from the Lord unto the gate. Amen. Maroth means that this is something it's something that it sounds like. In the Hebrew, there's a word that God is using here to pun, means that you're waiting for good, but it's not going to come. Maroth was used and punned by God in saying that it was something that it sounded like you were waiting for good, but only evil came. Hold on, here's something I want to tell you. There was a Hebrew word that sounded just like that city that meant waiting for good. But God said, that's not what you are. Because you sound like you want it. But what Maroth was named after was bitter waters. It was bitter waters. And they never knew sweet waters, because she was defeated. And she came to an end. Folks, listen to me. This is why it is so important about what I'm talking about tonight. We can sound like it. We can go through the motions. But because of bitterness, because of the past, we can clap our hands and sound like we're clapping our hands. We can open our mouth and shout hallelujah and sound like we're saying hallelujah. But after tonight, you're going to hear your hand clapping like you have never heard it before, because you're going to say, I refuse to be a pun of God. I refuse to be a footnote. My ministry and my town isn't going to be a byword. I'm going to know the power of the living God. You got to make up your mind right now while I'm talking. When I clap my hands, it isn't going to be a noise. It's going to be a sound of praise. When I shout hallelujah, I'm going to mean it from the depth. Come on, somebody help me. Come on, somebody help me. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on. You contrast that with John 7:38 and 39. He's that is thirst, let him come unto me, drink of those living waters. This was during the Feast of the Tabernacles. And then it wasn't in the Old Testament, but history tells us why Jesus said that on the last day of the feast. Is because they would come and take those waters out of the Pool of Siloam, which was the clear, beautiful waters that flowed in Jerusalem. And they would go and take them and pour them in a silver basin there in the house of God. And they did this every day of that feast unto the Lord. And Jesus waited on that final day to tell them, what you've been doing, I am that. I am the real. You're going through the motion. You're putting the water in a basin and leaving empty. It's something that looks like it, but it doesn't satisfy. I am that. He's letting them know I'm not a pun and I'm not a footnote in history. I'm what you're looking for. My God, have mercy, y'all. Come on. Oh, Jesus, help me to say this correctly tonight. Hallelujah. Either we can go through tradition and we can go through motion and we can say that's what it looks like, or somebody can rise up and say, hey, just come and drink this. It's for real. Amen. It doesn't sound like it. It is the sound of Pentecost. It doesn't look like it. It is the waters of Pentecost. Come on, y'all. Are we going to be a pun? Or are we going to be the power? Somebody clap your hands. Come on, somebody clap your hands. I'll hurry. I don't want to bore you tonight. But oh my God, I hear the sound of Pentecost. Come on, I hear a certain sound. Somebody clap your hands and listen to it. No, really listen to it. Come on, really listen to it. Hallelujah. Amen. I told the Lord just gave this to me. And I said, please, God, I don't want to be a pun. Don't let it be said of me. He sounded like the real, but he wasn't real. I've told the Lord with many tears, please don't let me be like those people at the Feast of the Tabernacle, going and getting those waters and pouring them out and never hearing him in the midst of that feast crying out, please, God, let me be that certain sound. I want to be real. I want to be genuine. I want to be true Pentecost. The world is dying for true Pentecost. Not charismatic. Not Trinity. But one God, Jesus' name, tongue talking, apostolic, holiness, revival minded. Come on, y'all, get the fire. If we do it right, there will be no sin, which is leprosy. There will be a cleansing and a washing of the God have mercy. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, give me just a few more minutes. I'll quit. I'm going to come to the next city, moving up. Amen. The next city is Beth Azel. Amen. It sounds in the Hebrew like a word for foundation. It resembles its counterpart in the Hebrew, which means foundation. But God was punning Beth Azel. He was saying, you sound like, in the Hebrew language, stability, foundation. But you're going to fall. You're not going to last. Because you're not real. You're not genuine. You're not built on the solid foundation. Now, I'm going to read to you a scripture, and please, I don't want to throw you. But don't misconstrue what I'm about to say. We understand when we say the foundation of the prophets, apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. We quote it. We preach it. But can I bring something to you? The apostle Paul said, my gospel. My gospel. Was he being arrogant? Was he being self-righteous? He knew what it meant to move into the dimension of the power. Paul refused to be a pun or a footnote in history. He made up his mind, I'm going to count. I've often wondered, how could Paul say that? From whence could he draw this? And I think I found one of them. And that's in Proverbs, the 10th chapter and the 25th verse. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Now you take that any way you want to take that. But I'm here to tell you the Word of God calls us the foundation. Friend, when you can come to the place and sound like the real and the genuine, you can be like Paul. This is my gospel. I am consumed. This thing has got me. It's in my hands. It's in my feet. It's in my soul. My God, I'm in it. I'm in it. Woo! I'm not like Bethesiel. I don't want to sound like I'm real and not be real. I want to be the genuine. Oh my God, somebody clap your hands. Hallelujah, I got to hurry. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. How many want to be so melded in with the apostles? Hallelujah. That when we get there, we won't stand there in awe with Paul. We'll just join hands with him and shout all over the hills of glory. There is a dimension that will move you from a pun to the power. And that's the dynamics. And that's the dynamics of revival. I moved to the next city, Zanon. And in the Hebrew, it sounds like the word which means to go out. It sounds like it. But according to Micah, you wouldn't go out. You hid behind the walls. When Bethesda was hurting and mourning, you wouldn't go help because you were afraid. You drew the gates closed and you hid behind the wall because you were afraid. You sound like the Hebrew word, go out, go forth, and conquer. But you didn't do it. You just sounded like it. You never became it. Whew. But when I read in the book of Acts, honey, when they stoned Stephen, I'm telling you, those people come pouring out of Jerusalem like ants out of an anthill. And they took that gospel to a lost and a dying world. That martyrdom became like a fire in their soul. I don't believe they were running afraid because the Bible said Saul was on their trail to kill them and making havoc of the church. And they went everywhere preaching this gospel. Folks, let me tell you something. Alabama is about to come out from behind the walls. My God, I got chills all over me. You didn't hear what I just said. You're not listening to me. I'm telling you, Alabama is about to say, we're not going to sound like it. We're going to be the real thing. Oh my God, are you ready? Come on, are you ready? No, are you really ready? Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. Clap your hands. Clap your hands. Listen to it. Do it louder. With joy and with intensity. Shout hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Stan, remain standing. I know when to quit. And I still got two more cities. But I'll just tell you this. Sefer, you sound like beauty, but you're naked. You're full of shame. Your beauty is gone. When you worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, it's not a fake anymore. It's real. Now, I close. Alabama ain't a big place on the map to a lot of people. But I'm telling you, it's a Bethlehem Ephrathah. God didn't pun Bethlehem Ephrathah. Though you be small, he's coming out of you. Because Bethlehem means, and you know it, house of bread. Ephrathah means fruitful. How are you going to pun that? That was it. It was the house of bread. There ain't nothing else to sound like it. Amen. It was fruitful. There ain't nothing else to pun with it. My God didn't pun it because he said, this is what you're going to look to. This is where Messiah's coming from. This is going to be the standard of it all. My God, have mercy. Can this church arise that it cannot be punned? Can this church arise, amen, that it cannot be punned? It is the high sterling standard. There's no way to pun it. When you talk about apostolic, it's just apostolic. When you talk about Pentecost, it's just Pentecost. When you talk about ministers that are full of God, I won't be punned. I cannot be punned. I'm going to be the power of the living God. Lift your hands. Get your wife by the hand. Lift it toward heaven. Ooh. This is the dynamics of Pentecost. This is the dynamics of revival. My God, listen to what you're saying. Hear yourself right now. The sound of praise. It doesn't sound like it. It is. It is. The beauty of holiness. Come on. A solid foundation. Come on. I will go forth. Come on. My God, my God. Praise him, church.
Our faith but to lift up your name in glory and honor and praise. The beauty of holiness called out from the world, robed in your righteousness, not for our fame, but to lift up your name in glory and honor. And praise. and the beauty of a holiness call out from the world, robed in your righteousness, not for our fame, but to lift up your name in glory and honor. And praise in glory and honor and praise. Oh Lord, we praise you in the beauty of holiness. Call out from the world, robed in your righteousness, not for our fame, but to lift up your name in glory and honor and praise, in glory and honor and praise. Praise you in the beauty of holiness. Call out from the world, robed in your righteousness, not for our fame, but to lift up your name in glory and honor. And praise in glory and honor and praise. Oh Lord, we praise you in the beauty of holiness. Called out from the world, robed in to lift up your name in glory and honor and praise, in glory and honor and praise.
Let's connect tonight. Come on. For the rest of this week, let's be one. Just make a connection together. Yeah, listen to yourself pray. Listen to your prayer. Pray a blessing on your brother. We're not a pun. We're not a footnote. We are the power of the living God. This is our gospel. This is our gospel. This is my gospel. Revival's my gospel. Jesus' name baptism is my gospel. The infilling of the Holy Ghost is my gospel. Holiness is my gospel. Loving my brothers, my gospel. Come on, sister, pray for your sister. Pray as one voice. Pray as one army. Pray as one body. Pray as one mindedness. Pray as one spirit. One objective. One purpose. We're not a pun. We will not be a pun. We will not be a joke. We will not be a footnote. We are revival. We will be the sound of revival. We'll not sound like revival. We will be the sound of revival. We are the sound of revival. And the sound of them went out into all the earth. Let our sound out. Let our sound out.
Amen. Go ahead and minister to one another. Minister a spirit of revival. Let your sound, pray your sound into your brother. Pray your anointing into your brother. Pray your revival into your brother, into your sister, into your brother's church, into your brother's city. Pray it. Ma, sa da 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 ma ha. The sound. Ma do ra ma sa da da. Le coriando ra na ba sa torende hu ku ta 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 ya ta ma. Woo ra da ma sa ya ma so ku na da ma. Hey God, yeah, yeah, Mosa da da masa. In Jesus' name, in Grand Bay. God, revival like this man has never dreamed. Revival like he's never passioned. He's not a pun. He's not a footnote. He's not a joke. He's not a has-been. He's not an ex. He's not a former. God, he's stepping into the vein. He's stepping in the flow. Revival. Thank you.
go to every brother you can get to, every sister you can get to, and make this statement to them. I refuse to be a pun. 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 No joke, no footnote.
There. I'm going to be the real thing. Not just going to sound.
The real sound. The real sound.
Not afraid of the fire.
There's already been a word of prophecy spoken over this conference by a man who's never been to this conference. But he said in this conference there is coming a phenomenal word. And it's going to spread like a theme through the whole conference. It's already started for me. There's some words been spoken out of the realm of the supernatural that there's a healing going on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you, Brother Clark. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Brother Sutton, what's the hospitality room? 410.
Anybody say room 410? That is the hospitality room for all the gold members. We'll meet there at about 6:30 till 7. And then, of course, all the gold members, ministers, pastors, we want you to sit with us on the platform and not just sit with us. We want you to help drive this conference. This is not a one-man act, a one-man show. Sometimes Brother Davis is taking the lead. Sometimes Brother Sutton is. Sometimes I am. But we want you to help drive this. Ladies, we need you to help drive this. There'll be a special reserve seating for you and your families. And let's just show the devil who's boss this week. This is my state. This is my state. And I'm going to fill my state with my gospel. Paul said that God's going to judge the world according to my gospel. If he's given it to us, we might as well take possession of it. We might as well lay claim or ownership, whatever. Man, I'm pumped. Why do we have to wait till tomorrow night? So, hallelujah. So, praise God. Amen. Anybody feel like they just got to shout a little bit?
I feel like there is an awakening in the heart of the church. And I feel like there is a church within the church that is coming alive. And I honestly say it from my heart that I know what is happening inside this room right now is the most important thing that's happening in the state of Alabama. Amen. And it's because men and women of like vision are not going to talk about it. We're going to do it. Amen. And we're doing it. We're doing it. I don't know if you just stopped and looked at what's happening, but it's happening. It's happening. Amen. And so that's all I got to say. I'm just glad to be connected to the heart. I heard O.R. Foss say this. He said, "That which is furthest from the heart dies first." Amen. So I feel like I'm connected to the heartbeat. I want to be close to the heart tonight. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, that's great. It's going to be so good that nobody's going to take credit for anything.
Praise God. Let's praise him one more time with a loud voice, with a glad voice, with a thankful voice. Hakarabasa. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's have the greatest week we've ever known in Alabama Revival Conference. We love you, Brother Clark. We're so excited you're here. And we're in for a week with Brother Larry Booker, Brother Nathaniel Wilson, and Brother Sam Emery. And Brother Clark's going to clean up all their messes and keep us focused. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you. Shake hands, be friendly, and let's get together this week like never before.